If you could turn back in your Bibles, please, to John chapter 21. And as we go there, we pray once more for a moment. Lord, with the psalmist, we are able to say that our hearts and our souls cry out. They are thirsty until they find rest and refreshment in you. And we pray this morning that as we come to the Word of God, that the God of the Word would meet with us and minister to us in our souls. Bring satisfaction, we pray. Bring salvation. Bring us into a closer walk with yourself. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're coming to the end of John's Gospel, and we're coming to the end of the account in John's Gospel of the way that Jesus is ministering to, and he's dealing with Peter. Now, when we think about books and when we think about films, there's something very unsatisfactory about a sad ending to a story. In the stories that we read and the films that we watch, we like the goodies to win, we like the baddies to be defeated, and we like the characters that we love to live happily ever after, possible. It's what we like. That's the longing that's within us. We like happy endings. And the question I want to consider this morning is that of a happy ending for Peter. How does it all end for Peter? We've got to know him and we've got to love him in John's Gospel. We've admired him as he followed Jesus closely, as he had such zeal in his walk with God. We've grimaced and we've looked away almost, as we saw him in the last few chapters, fail Jesus and deny Jesus. And then as Jesus comes back to him, we've looked on hopefully and then joyfully as we see Jesus going to restore him. So Peter, he's on a roller coaster with Jesus. It's very rare that the Christian life is just flat line. It's more like a roller coaster. There's ups and there's downs and there's bends and there's turns and it's turbulent. And we see that in Peter's Christian life and his walk with Jesus. And today's question is how will it go for Peter from here on in? He's been up, he's been down many times over, but how's it going to go from here on in? How will it end up for Peter in his Christian life? And the question for us in application is, how will it end up for you? And how will it end up for me in our Christian life? It's easy to start a race. It's easy to start to follow. But do we keep on going? We sang just a few minutes ago, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. I used to think, in days gone by, that all the dangers and toils and snares were really concentrated in the early years. I used to think that in teenage years and maybe early 20s, that's where the danger zone was. That's where we had to be very, very alert in our spiritual lives. And I used to think that once you got into your kind of late 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s, you're in a steady place. The dangers, toils, snares, in large measure, they're past. Life is steady. I used to think that. I don't think that anymore. I don't think that anymore. Because I've seen more middle-aged Christians via, of course, than young Christians. And the middle years in life, which I'm now in. By observation and experience, they seem to me to be a particularly dangerous period in life. And we find Peter here in his middle-aged years, as we hear Jesus speak to Peter. Jesus says to him, "I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you." This is verse 18. "Someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." So Jesus is saying to Peter, you know, in the first instance, he's saying to Peter, "You were younger, Peter, but you're not now in your young years. And there's going to be more aged years up ahead of you, and I'm going to speak to you about what's up ahead, but you're not yet in the old years. You're in that mid-range." So Jesus says to Peter, "I'm going to tell you how to live in that period." So today's message is for everyone. It's for every age range. It's for every person. But particularly, I think, it's maybe for those who are not young and not old, but in that dangerous mid-period in life. So what was Peter to do? And what are we to do as we listen to Jesus? Well, the first point is simply that we have to keep on listening to Jesus. Jesus is making clear to Peter, even by virtue of the conversation, that he must keep on listening to Jesus. Why? Well, I mean, there's many reasons why. We could have a whole sermon just to deal with that question. Why should we listen to Jesus? Why should we stay alert? Why should we remain tuned in and listening to Jesus, not just for this hour, but throughout our lives? But one of the reasons that readily emerges from these verses is that Jesus knows what's up ahead. So we have to listen to him. We don't know what's around the corner. We don't know what's in the years to come. We don't know what to expect. So we're not best placed to know how to cope with this, but Jesus knows what's up ahead. We're always checking the forecasts, aren't we? We're always on XC weather, checking the wind direction and the rainfall. We like to know what's up ahead. We like to know if it's going to be sunny and bright or if it's going to be stormy and wet. We like to know what's up ahead so we can be prepared and ready. I was on the phone to Aman yesterday for the barbecue, trying to figure out, are we going to do this or are we not going to do this? And Amon's got charts and radar, rainfall things, and you know he's got more to say than the man Fish that used to be on the weather. And that's wise. It's wise to listen to the experts because they help us to know how to make decisions and to be prepared for what's ahead. And Jesus knows what's up ahead. Jesus knows what's in Peter's past. He's walked with Peter over these last years, and he knew Peter ever before that. He knew how impetuous and strong-willed the young Peter was, and how he just did what he pleased. That's why he says to him in verse 18, "When you were younger, you dressed yourself and you went where you wanted." That was Peter's past. But Jesus also knows what's in Peter's future. He knows what's in God's providence for Peter's old age. And Jesus says to him, "When you're old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." And what that means precisely, we'll get to in a moment. But the first point to note here is simply to note that Jesus knows what's up ahead. He knows the number of your days and mine. He knows what's contained within these days. He knows what's ahead of us. So if I'm wise, And if you're wise, we'll listen to him. And we'll keep on listening to him. And the application here, it's not hard to figure, is it? This is not hard to understand. But this is very, very hard to live out. We need to keep on listening to Jesus. Do you think that's too simple? Then I don't mind if you do. Because you and I will be back to it time and time again, having regretted where we've just been and thinking, I wish I'd listened to Jesus. We need to keep on listening to Jesus. In our young days, we need to listen to Jesus. We need to remember our Creator and listen to our Creator in the days of our youth. In our older years, when we're starting to feel weary in this world, we need to keep on listening to the sustaining and the strengthening and the encouraging words of Jesus. Listen to Isaiah 46 for one example. Verse 4, even to your old age and grey hairs, I am he, says the Lord. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you, and I will sustain you, and I will rescue you. What encouraging words for those who are in their grey hair ages. It's coming through here. It's how much spread through the whole head. And God speaks to us. Jesus speaks to us. Words of strengthening and encouragement. And in our middle years, where there are pressures and there are commitments that we have to meet and there are demands in our time, more so than any other period in life, where there's so many voices at all places and levels constantly claiming our attention, we need to keep on determinedly listening to Jesus. Day by day, you need your Weetabix? Well, you need God's word even more. Keep listening to Jesus. Keep coming to his house. Keep using the opportunities that he's given us and the freedom that we have in this country to being with him and being with his people. Keep on listening to Jesus because he knows the future. He holds the future. It's nice to see John Struthers back with us today. We were praying for him last Sunday. This time last week, he was in hospital. And John was sharing with me that 2 weeks prior, was it to that, Roddy McKenzie was preaching here from Scalpie. And Roddy had spoken about the fact that we don't know what's up ahead. We don't know what's just round the corner in life. And so we need to be trusting in and listening to Jesus. And John was there and he heard that. And little did he know that just a few days later he would be in hospital. And he was shaken physically. But he was steady spiritually because of the word that God had spoken through Roddy that was brought back to his mind through the power of the Holy Spirit. He's kept steady because of the assurance of the safety that he had, whatever happened, because he was trusting in Christ. See, Jesus knows what's ahead of us in life. He knows about these hospital appointments that are not in our diaries. He knows about these crises that hit us that we never see coming. And he's the one who's able to guide us through life. Indeed, he's the one who's able to guide us through death into life that's everlasting. But we need to be listening to him. We need to be trusting in him. We need to be putting our faith in him and all that he's done for us on the cross. So let me ask the question before I move on to the second point. Are you listening to Jesus? Is your faith and mine in Christ? Have we seen our sin and put our faith in the one who is able to save us from sin and carry us through life and carry us through death into life that's everlasting. There's no other way to be saved. There's no other way to walk steady through life. We won't be kept from trials, but we'll be kept in trials. But we need to be listening to and trusting in Jesus. So keep listening to Jesus. That's the first point for Peter. It's the first point for us, especially those of us in our middle years. So many voices, so many frequencies. Keep on listening to Jesus. Second point, keep glorifying Jesus. We've got 3 points today. Second point is keep glorifying Jesus. Verse 19, Jesus, in speaking to Peter, he said this to indicate the kind of death Peter would. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Peter had, he'd strayed. He'd let Jesus down for that period that we've been focusing on in the last few weeks. But Jesus restores him, comes to him. And Peter is now on a track where he would glorify God. And even in his death, Jesus says, "You're going to glorify me through your death." And history tells us how Peter died. He was crucified, upside down, because he didn't feel worthy to be crucified in the same way as his Lord. That's what history records. Eusebius, the Jewish historian, not a Christian historian, but a secular Jewish historian, he writes this of Peter. "Peter seems to have preached in Pontus and Galatia and Bithynia and Cappadocia and Asia to the Jews of the dispersion. And at last, having come to Rome, he was crucified head downward, for so he himself had asked to suffer." He was one who was led in a direction in which physically he did not want to go. That's a euphemism for crucifixion. They were led to be crucified. But through his death, Peter glorified Jesus. J.C. Ryle says it happened exactly as his master had predicted. Most ecclesiastical historians say that he suffered martyrdom at Rome in one of the first persecutions and was crucified with his head downwards. So history records that Peter died glorifying Jesus. And Jesus knew that from way back. Think back to John 13. In John 13, Jesus, he's moving purposefully very close to the cross. And Simon Peter asks Jesus, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "Where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." And eventually Peter did follow Christ to a cross where he was crucified because of his resolute faith in Jesus. Peter's chief end in life. Peter's chief end in life. Peter's chief end in death was to glorify God and to honour Jesus. And I want to ask the question of you, as I have asked the question of myself going through this week, is that still your desire and goal and determination? And is it mine? To glorify God first and foremost with our lives, to lift up Jesus. I think in youth there can be a great zeal to glorify God. I was hearing about a conversation this week that happened in Crawlican nursery preschool, and little Michael, hope you won't mind me saying this, little Michael was having a conversation with little Daniel John, And they were over in the corner, and one of the teachers was listening in. Michael turns to Daniel and John, and he says, "Do you know, Jesus died for me." With the stickle bricks and all that stuff there, mess all around them. He turns and he says, "Jesus died for me. Did you know that?" And Daniel John knew, and he says, "He died for your sin. He died for your sin." Two wee buttocks, 4 years old, talking theology and crawlicking, not giving a care who's listening. Teachers are amazed at what they're hearing. And we see that in young people. They have this unashamed zeal to speak about the Jesus they're trusting. And in old age, when we become more aware of our own mortality, we see sometimes in people there is an acute sense of wanting to glorify the God that they will soon meet. But in middle age years, when you and I are juggling so many responsibilities of work and life and home and leisure, if we're not intentional, we can lose that drive to glorify God. We can slip into neutral spiritually and have a faith crash. Peter has just crashed. But Jesus comes to him and he meets with him. And as Peter is restored to Jesus, he recommits his life to Jesus, to glorifying Christ. Maybe there's some here this morning and that's what we need to do. Actually, for Christians, every morning that's what we need to do. We need to recommit our lives day by day to glorifying Christ. Maybe we've been coasting along for a while, and our time with God has been slipping and slipping, and our attendance at things that would encourage us and give us the opportunity to worship God, they're going down and they're going down. And Jesus is slipping down the priority list in our lives, and we no longer wake in the morning with a desire to hear what has the Lord got to say to me in his word, and we no longer have that desire to get on our knees and speak to him. We no longer have the determination we once had to serve Christ and speak to other people of all that Jesus has done for them. And then through the word of God, and then the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus comes to us as he did to Peter to challenge us to repent of our waywardness and to recommit our lives to him. Do we need to recommit our lives to Christ today? You know, for Peter, that involved death, ultimately. And for you and I, every day, actually that involves death. Dying to self. Dying to putting me first. Calvin describes the Christian life as the continual mortification of self. Because it's always self. It's always me that seeks to take Jesus off the throne. Put me first. My leisure time, my work, my reputation, my career, my family, my ambitions, my comfort. It's always self that is taking Jesus down from the throne. Remember when John the Baptist, his ministry was dwindling? In John chapter 3, and John's disciples come to him and say to him, "You've heard about all the people who are leaving. They're going over to listen to what Jesus is saying. John, your fellowship is getting smaller and smaller. People aren't listening to you anymore. They're all going over to Jesus." And John's disciples are indignant about this. And it would have been so easy for John to rise up and protest and say, "You know, you're right. They're all I've done. And this is all that's left." But John has none of that. John knows that people are not looking at him anymore. John knows that his sphere of influence is now minuscule. John knows that everybody is focused on and going to Jesus. And what does John say? John says, he, Christ, must increase. I must decrease. John's desire and his determination was to glorify Christ. Peter's calling and his renewed desire and determination was to glorify Jesus. And your chief end and mine is to glorify Christ and keep glorifying Christ day by day. Peter was to keep listening to Jesus. Peter was to keep glorifying Jesus day by day for as long as he had, and he did. And finally, Peter was to keep focused on Jesus. Jesus turned to him, verse 19, and said, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" And Jesus tells Peter, "Follow me." That's how the conversation begins. That's how the conversation continues. And that's how the conversation ends. Jesus says, "Follow me." And John is there, just in the distance, and Peter seems to be distracted momentarily. He sees John, he says, "What about John? What about him?" And it was the wrong question. And yet it's one that we commonly ask. It's a question that very often takes us off track, because it speaks into how easily we can become distracted. Remember one report card that I got at school? They were never a source of celebration in our house, my report cards, but there was one that came one year, and in one of the classes the teacher wrote, "David is easily distracted." I got a blasting for that one. Because if you're easily distracted, you don't follow. If you don't follow, you don't make progress. How focused are we on Jesus today? This is the Lord's Day. 1 in 7 that has been set aside deliberately so that we will focus on Christ. This is God's gift to us. A day where we are called to be still and know that he is God. A day where we focus on him. So how focused will we be today? If we're honest, I think we have to say we struggle with it. We struggle not to be distracted as our phones beep and ping and buzz with messages all through the day. Our time with the Lord is so often interrupted as we say, "Well, what about him? He just emailed me, I need to respond to it. What about her and the message that she just sent?" "What about him?" says Peter. Jesus is with him, and yet Peter's looked away. He said, "What about him?" And the Lord says to Peter, verse 22, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." No distractions, Peter. "My plans for John, Peter, are not your business. Keep focused on me," says Jesus to Peter. "And keep focused on me," says Jesus to us. Keep focused on me. Don't you find that every time you try to read the Bible and pray, you know, your mind is in overdrive? Mine certainly is. I think about this person I didn't visit. I think about that person that I did and how it went. I think about this job that's half done and the prayer meeting that's not yet prepared and the meeting that's coming up next week. And my mind is saying to me, what about all these people and all these things? And Jesus says to me through this passage, what is that to you? You follow me. You focus on me. So busy middle-aged people, are we doing this? If we have so much work and study and kids' clubs to run around between that we are too busy to take time to listen to and focus on Jesus, then we're simply too busy. Things have to change. We're just too constantly distracted. And maybe Jesus is saying to some of us what he said to Peter. Ultimately, McLeod, in the eternal scheme of things, what are some of these things that are congesting your mind? What are they to you? Some of these things can be dropped, but you must follow me. I'm conscious this is challenging. We're finishing now. I'm conscious this is challenging. I'm conscious that we may think in our minds, this is just too overbearing. This bites too hard. This is too demanding. This is too costly. And if that's the way I feel, and if that's the way we feel, then let's consider again how costly it was for Jesus to follow the Father's will as he came from heaven to earth, from the cradle to the carpenter's shed to the cruel cross. For us, if we find ourselves inwardly rebelling against the call of Christ to die to self, to make him priority, to follow him, we need to get back to Calvary. We need to survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died. We need to see his head and his hands and his feet and the sorrow and the love that flows mingled down for us. If we're struggling with this, we need to keep it on looking at Jesus as he dies for us. And keep on looking until we say with the hymn writer, were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Not my slither of what I have left over, but my whole life, my all. That's what he deserves. So keep listening to Jesus. Keep glorifying Jesus. Keep focused on Jesus. Keep following Jesus. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and we thank you for Jesus. All that he has done for us, all that we survey as we look to the cross. We thank you for the ministry of Jesus to Peter and for the ministry of Jesus through the word by the Spirit to us. We thank you for the tenderness and the gentleness and the love of Jesus as he goes to Peter having failed so terribly and restores them so tenderly. And we thank you also for a love that does not gloss over the issues that Peter had to deal with, but comes to the very heart of them and challenges Peter to follow him resolutely. And we thank you that we have the record in Scripture of how Peter did. We thank you that we know how this all ends for Peter. We don't know how it will all end for us, but we pray that we would be found recommitting our lives to you today and every day, and following Jesus closely. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.